Hi there, this is Winfrey, and welcome to our Monday night conference, Planetary Healing Hour. And we're going to officially start at 6, which is in 2 minutes, but we're on the air right now, and what I'm going to do is we're checking in. We have a bunch of people who are on the line, and let me see, how many people are on our conference line? Everyone can listen in.
There are 11 participants in the conference.
Dan, would you like to have the names?
6 and yourself.
We have 11 people on the line. So, do we have 12 people, Suzanne?
Yeah, we were taking names before you came on. There was a bunch of peeps when you came on.
Yeah, we will. Peeps after you came on, but...
Suzanne, Wayne...
I'm
Dean?
No, I'm
Dean.
Well, there's on Dean, too.
Wait a second. I hear Undine. Now, wait a second. Who's that person?
D.
Yes. Is this D in South Carolina or D in California?
North Carolina.
Hi, D.
Hi,
Ben. Who else is here?
Kathy from Memphis?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's Kathy. Kathy?
Yep, Kathy.
Yeah.
Karen from Tucson. Francis and a lot of beeps.
Francis and who else?
Diane.
Diane. Is that Larry? Did I hear Larry?
No, you heard Gary, Marianne, and Emmy from San Diego.
Gary, Marianne,
and Emmy.
Emmy, hi Emmy. And who else is on there?
And Jackie, San Diego.
Jackie.
Krista
and who?
In New Mexico.
Who is that? Say it again.
Krista.
Oh, hi, Krista. Krista, you're the person that sent me an email. Yes?
Yes.
I remember. Well, you're famous now because you're on the Internet. Let's say hello to everybody on BBS Radio that's listening to us. Who else? Who else is on there?
This is Maya.
Hello, Maya. Nice to hear you. Are you in what city?
Right now in San Rafael.
San Rafael, okay. And other people are checking in who just came in. This is Wynn.
Anna in Berkeley.
This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This Emmy, this time San Diego.
Emmy?
Okay.
Yep.
I'm visiting my daughter for the holidays.
Emmy, is Marianne your daughter?
Yep.
Yes.
She's gonna come on in a few minutes. She's on the road. She hasn't made it home yet.
Yeah,
Emmy.
Gary gonna come on in a minute.
Emmy, you did good work, man. Okay. Now tell me, is Karen in Tucson your daughter also?
Yes.
You did double good work.
I don't know if she's on, so.
Yes.
She is on. Karen?
Karen, I am on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here for Christmas.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for being with us tonight. And who else is on? Who else is there? Who hasn't said their name yet? Anybody? Going once, going twice. We have Suzanne in Arizona, Wayne in South Carolina, Dee in North Carolina, Andine in Palo Alto, Kathy in Tennessee, Karen in Tucson, Francis in Concord, Diane in Mountain View, Gary and Marianne in San Diego, Emmy in San Diego, Jackie in San Diego, Krista in New Mexico, Maya in San Rafael, Anna in Berkeley, and anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Okay. Well, thank you all for being here and being supportive of what we're doing. And thank you, everybody at BBS, who is checking in and listening. And, you know, we have two people on the phone line, I know, that maybe are here Well, I know they're here for the first time. Emmy and Krista. Krista, did you get a chance to go to any of the websites?
I read your website before.
Oh, you did?
But I haven't had a chance to look at any of the others since I got your email this morning.
Okay. Krista just read my book. It's actually not my book, but the book that I wrote with David, and sent me an email, and I just, because she was interested in all our conference calls, so this is your first time, you know. Emmy, how about you? Have you read anything about the work we're doing?
No, not really, because I have a little visual problem, and I cannot really read much.
Well, I want you to know that your children have just joined a cult.
All right, you're not supposed to be putting out stuff like that.
No, that's not true. Okay. I just for the sake of the people that are new, I'll tell you a little bit about like what happens here or what we think happens, and it's kind of unusual. And I'll mute you all. Letting you know also, we have people that are listening on BBS Radio. We've never done this. Maybe at some point in this call, we'll open up the phones and see if anyone calls BBS. I wish I knew their phone number, though. If you're on the page, maybe you pay attention to the number if you're someone that never said hello to us. And feel free. We'll try this. Feel free to put your 2 cents in. Now I'm going to mute everybody. Just a moment.
All callers are muted.
Okay. Well, okay, what am I going to say? To begin with, this is maybe a way of describing what we could call a multidimensional meeting. Now, a multidimensional meeting, maybe you're not familiar with that word, so let me give you an idea of how I understand that word. We all know that we're in physical bodies, and we know that we think, we smell, we feel, we're hungry, and there's an illusion that the physical body might be all there is. And it's a pretty persuasive illusion, and quite a few people believe that's true. And then there's other people that have come to the conclusion that maybe there's more to everything than their physical body. And they relate to an idea that there's some force called God, and that there's something that there's a bit of a mystery down here in terms of how all that works, but yet they've had some kind of experience that has indicated to them that it's real. Maybe they don't understand it, but they know there's, maybe you've had a synchronicity. Maybe you have a feeling, maybe you have a connection, but there's the idea that maybe you're more than your physical body. And it's a bit of a mystery what that more is. So this call is dedicated to the part of you that's not just your physical body, but the part of you that's more than your physical body. And it's dedicated to learning how to get into a more direct relationship and the experience of the part of you that's more than your physical body, so that you can validate for yourself that that exists. Now, the kind of information that I share with you is not information that I could figure out from my physical body. Because like you, I'm in the same illusion that we all are, and the illusion that, how do I know there's something more? How do I know? And, of course, those of you that have been checking into this call know the experiences I've gone through, and that I have had the experience of communication with intelligences that are not in physical bodies. And these intelligences are more than what we could call discarnate entities. Now, there's other people that supposedly talk to discarnate entities, and I watch John Edwards on TV, and I think he probably does that, and that's talking to people who have died and who are able to communicate to certain people. Well, in my case, the intelligences I'm talking to are, how can I say it? I suppose in normal communication and normal vocabulary, we could say from the angelic realms, from realms that are celestial, that are outside of the earth plane, and that really want to communicate to us, and it's hard for them to communicate to us, and it's hard for us to hear them. And when this all started for me, I was as skeptical as the next person. So if you're listening for the first time, I would tell you, please be skeptical. Please be discerning. But take the time to check it out. There's a lot of material. There's books. There are one book. There's material on the web. There's a lot of material that you can immerse yourself in. And before you discard whether this is real or not, take the time to study it a bit. And if it doesn't resonate, then discard it. But if it does resonate, it may open you up, as it has to many of the people on this line, to not just believing that there's something out there, but to having the experience of connecting with those things that are out there that are in the part of you that's multidimensional, that you don't stop with your body. There's all these parts of you that go on and on and on and on into the invisible realms, the other dimensions, but we can't see them directly. And we can sometimes feel them, sometimes we can intuit it, but our physical body apparatus keeps us separated from the parts of ourself that are in other dimensions. So, 7 years ago, I was probably, you know, another dumb human. Maybe I was a little smarter than the average dumb human, but not much. And I had studied metaphysical things, and I'd read all these things. And I even read about people that had communications similar to the one that I'm describing for myself. And I never knew whether I could trust it or not. I never knew, who are they talking to? Why should I believe that? And 7 years ago, I was thrust into the situation of discovering the website of David Wilcock. And I studied David's website, and I studied his readings because he was having this kind of communication that I'm describing. He was having verbal communication with intelligences in celestial realms. So he said. And more than that, he made a case for being the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And Edgar Cayce was someone that greatly influenced my life years ago. I had Edgar Cayce, and I'll say this for Emmy's sake, because she probably doesn't know who he is, was a psychic prophet, seer, who died in 1945, who for 40 years of his life went into a trance, and a voice would speak through him that was able to diagnose anyone's health problems just by knowing their name and the city they were in. And this voice could then recommend cures that had never been discovered, and people would do these cures, and it would work. Not only that, when they got a diagnosis for a health problem, they would go to their doctor, and the doctor would verify that whatever Edgar Cayce said to them was exactly what they had, even to the point of telling them their blood pressure, they had gallstones, no matter what. So I read this many years ago, and when Edgar Cayce died, there were like transcriptions, 15,000, 14,000 transcriptions of his readings. And his children opened up a library, and 500 books were written about him. And he's considered the most documented person who ever did anything like this in the history of our recorded history. So it's impressive. He definitely could do this. And if you read anything about him, there's a number of biographies, which I recommend if you've never done it, you will be convinced that this guy had a very special ability. And it was a bit of a mystery to him how he did it, why it happened through him, but he decided that he was helping people, and even though he was a fundamental Christian and he wasn't sure at first if this was something that, how it melded with his Christian perspective, he said, if I ever hurt anybody, I'm going to stop doing it. And through his whole life, he was only helping people. So not only did he tell people about their medical problems, he also could tell people about what their past lives were. And this was harder to validate, of course, than health problems. But even that, people, he would say things about what somebody did in a past life and their talents, and it would turn out that they had those same talents this lifetime. There were many, 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 many things. It's if you're skeptic, a good place to start is reading Edgar Cayce, because he most definitely, many of the people that wrote books about him wrote the books to disprove him, and yet they all ended up writing books to prove him, because the more you study him, the more you know he's real. So he did health readings, he did reincarnation readings, and he would make predictions for the future. And he also explained things about how the cosmos works that one couldn't figure out on their own. Now, of course, this gets to have the question, how do you know it's real? Well, you don't. You have to just consider all the other things he did, and maybe that was real also. But what the key to this is not changing your mind or believing something. The key is to be open to the possibilities. And in order to be open to the possibilities, you have to expose yourself to the information and the data. And then you can then scan your own reality and see if things happen in a way that can validate for you that this might be real. So then, in year 2000, I discovered a website of a young man who made the insinuation that he was the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. He was 28 years old, and I went into a bit of shock about it since I had read so many Edgar Cayce books. But I began a study of his website. I studied the circumstances that linked him to Edgar Cayce. And he didn't want to be Edgar Cayce. It was like he was thrown into a set of, how would I say, correlations, connections with Edgar Cayce that gave him a connection to Edgar Cayce with odds of billions to one. And whether you believe in reincarnation or not, whether you believe that he's Edgar Cayce returned or not, the odds stand on their own. And they're real, and it's pretty compelling. And he had this voice coming through him, and the voice said to him, in this lifetime, if he was going to do his highest purpose, he was not going to do past life readings and health readings, and he wasn't going to do what Edgar Cayce did. He was going to explain to our planet this dimensional shift that we're in. And there's a unique period in evolutionary path of our souls, the end of a 75,000-year cycle, that a human could never figure out on their own. It's too long a cycle. And yet, there's things happening in this period that have never happened in the history of mankind. And there was an explanation for these things and how they work. Now, I wasn't sure when I first started writing the book that I believed all of this. I knew he was Edgar Cayce. I knew his source was very wise, whoever was speaking through him. I knew they understood the human condition very deeply. But when it came to the end of a cycle and what they were describing, I said, okay, I'll be open to this. But I can't know this. I can't validate it for myself. And that was in the year 2000 to 2002. And, you know, I know that you who are my regulars on the line have heard this story so many times, so I'll keep it short. But I know there's new people, and they need to hear this because it gives them reason. It almost approaches proof. Not exactly proof, but approaches it. The connections between this guy and Edgar Cayce approaches proof. It's so many things tying up to Cayce. And then what happened to me in the year 2002, when I had a new personal relationship, and I was in the midst of writing my book, and this individual started channeling spontaneously. And something was coming through her that wanted to talk to me. And this was a little scary at first. I said, who the heck's talking? I finally convinced myself that whoever was talking through Edgar Cayce seemed to be positive, and my predisposition was to trust it and to be open to it. Now someone is talking to me, and of course, if you ever find yourself in this situation, your first thought is the person I'm with crazy? are they making this up? And the voice invited me to ask questions. And so I asked questions, and they answered my questions. And I decided, well, I don't know what to make of this, but I'm going to record all these question and answer sessions, and I'll decide over time what to think about it. Initially, I asked them if they could predict a newspaper headline, and they said they could, And they did. And they said, watch for this headline, Memorial Day weekend in 2002, which was 2 weeks away, and 2 weeks later, there was the headline. I asked many of the questions about the premises of the book I was in the midst of writing, and they answered the questions, totally validating all the information that was in the book. And the person that was channeling didn't know the answers. And yet she was answering exactly what I had written and was writing in the book that was coming through David Wilcock. So this was a little spooky. This was like, God, maybe I have it right. Here's a story that sounds like science fiction that, I mean, if I saw it in a movie, I'd say somebody has a good imagination. And now I have two sources telling me the same story. So I started, you know, it gave me a lot of reason to think that there may be some truth in it. And then, of course, the girlfriend who was doing this was freaking out over it. And after 6 months, she left me, and I took a break for 6 weeks. I was suffering, and I called my old friend up who came over and spent the night with me, woke me up in the middle of the night, and they started talking through her. At least they said they were the same. Of course, I didn't believe it. I mean, I'm saying she's making this up. She's jealous of the other woman. She wants to impress me that she can channel. And so we spent a couple of months having these conversations with his voice, and I became pretty certain that I was talking to the same intelligence. They had the same awareness. They were doing little predictions that would come about. And one of the things that happened, actually, with the first person was this healing on my sister. My sister was supposed to die, and I asked them if they could help, and they said they would, and she was going in for a cancer operation, and she survived the operation, which was very, they said she didn't have much chance of surviving. And then a few weeks later, they checked her to see if the cancer had returned, and they found out that the cancer had gone. It was completely gone, but her lupus had disappeared. And the nurse said, lupus never disappears. So they tested her again and again, and the lupus disappeared. So I'm sitting here in the middle of this experience trying to integrate it. How am I supposed to work this? What am I supposed to do with it? If they are who they say they are, this seems like it's pretty important, but I don't have a clue of how to make it important to other people. And I was certainly concerned that people would think I was crazy. And so I just kept a log, kept tapes, would talk to an occasional person about it that I trusted. And actually, my book was still in process, and I thought if I started talking publicly about my personal experience, I would never get the book published. So who was talking to me through these two women identified themselves as the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and I came up with things like the God of the Old Testament, the creator God of this realm, and I asked them, are you the same Elohim? And they said they were. And they said they were part of the same. That's the way they answered. And I said, why me? And they said, I was a cosmic midwife, and I knew how to bring these things out into the world. And it was very important to get this into this realm. So, again, I didn't do anything. I didn't believe them. I didn't disbelieve them. I said, I just have to keep doing this and asking questions and figuring this out as I go. Well, I now believe that everyone is who they say they are, and that there is something important to be brought into this realm through this kind of connection that they're making with me. And they actually want to connect with people. But it's really hard to get it straight from where they are into this realm. And if we forget the idea, the normal idea of God, I'll give you a view of how things work that is something you probably never heard before. It's new information. And again, it's something that you have to integrate, think about, read my work, come in to visit these conference lines often and see if something rubs off on you. Because the real purpose of all of this is not to give you a new belief system. A new belief system is just as bad as the old belief system, even if it's the right belief system, or even if it's more accurate, because it's just in your mind. The real purpose, highest purpose, of this work is so that you can learn to connect with these energies in a very personal way, that you can feel them and they can work with you. And this is a very kind of subtle relationship. And the first step is to be open to it, to believe it's possible, and to look for it. Look for the signs, to be open to the signs. And the way, according to I've come to understand it, the way things work is that the universe is very much like our bodies, like us. We exist in our body, and we have all these cells in our body, and we don't relate individually to each cell. We know they're there, billions of cells, and we have groups of cells that relate to individual cells, like the circulatory system, the heart, the lungs, the brain. They're all groups of cells organized in certain fashions to create functions that, when all added together, becomes our body. And then we are in our body, and we utilize all these functions, but we're not even aware of it. It happens automatically. Well, let's look at the universe and think of the whole universe as being God, one being. And within this universe, there's trillions upon trillions upon trillions of individual cells. In fact, everything in the universe is a cell in the body of God. You, me, the planet, the Earth, the other planets, the sun, the other star systems, the other populations on other star systems, they're all cells, and all of them together make God. And God does not separate itself from all that is to be with an individual cell, any more than you or I separate ourselves from our own consciousness to go visit the cell in your big toe. So the universe has groups, organizations, a multitude of organizations with complexities beyond anything we could imagine that run it. And there's organizations of, I'm calling themselves, but we'll call them consciousnesses, in various dimensions simultaneously, that are helping other dimensions, that are helping other beings. And at the very top level of all these organizations, there's two major groups of individualized combinations of energies. One of them is the Elohim group, who is speaking to me through my two personal relationships, and the other one is the Ra group, who was speaking through Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock. And both of these groups are composed of souls that no longer have bodies. They're pure energy. And they're teamed up so that they're a conglomeration. They're like psychic with each other. They work as a huge team. And they help planetary populations like ours evolve. And that my contention is that these two group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, have been who we have thought of as God throughout our history. They have made many, many interventions with most of the people that started religions, with most of the people that started spiritual groups, and they've spoken to people, they've talked to the prophets in the Bible, and they're here now. And in previous times, the kind of cosmology that I'm sharing with you was too complex, and it was simplified. So when a voice spoke through somebody, it was more than they needed to know that it was group soul speaking, with billions of individual souls, or part of that team speaking. So what was most important is to get people in tune with the energy, get them cooperating with each other, and get them to be able to connect with the energies of these group souls, which became the beginnings of most of our religions, as far as I can tell. So now we're getting a picture of how the other side works, a picture that I don't believe has ever been presented to the public before. And as I said, if you're one of those people that are hearing this for the first time, then you can't believe it, you shouldn't believe it. But you should investigate my work. You should read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. You should go to my websites and read the more detailed story of what happened to me. This really did happen. And if it did happen, there must be an explanation. And if I'm misinterpreting this and there's another explanation for how all this could happen, then I'd be very pleased for someone to share it with me, because I can't find another explanation that can make sense of all these events other than the one I'm giving you. Somebody is definitely communicating with me. Beings that have the ability to do miraculous things in this realm. And it's all seemed very positive and loving. It's created a lot of growth for me, and it's created growth for the people that have been on our conference line. And I've watched that growth, and it stands on its own. I'm not doing it. I'm just sitting here talking, and people are studying this work, and they're making their own connections. And once you make the connection, it's no longer about me. It's about you and the greater universe. So what does it mean to make a connection? How does that work? We've talked about, the beginning of this talk, the side of us which is multidimensional, the part of us that we can't see, but for some of us, we know it exists, but we don't understand it. It's always a mystery. So let's say that with the physical universe, there's an entire mirror image of the physical universe that is not physical, that is part of this multidimensional energy, and that it's a precursor to the physical universe, and that every object in the physical universe has a mirror energy to it, existing in what we might call the metaphysical universe, and that all these mirror images come together and create this huge energy that we could call God, or we could call the universe, or we could call it oneness, whatever name you use that would help you feel or intuit this. And so each of us has an energy existing in this metaphysical universe. And the difference, one significant difference between the energy that we have in the metaphysical universe and our physical bodies is that our physical bodies are fairly constant. They don't change very fast. They change slowly over time. They get fatter, skinnier, older, but it's not certainly anything we have direct control over. We can control whether our body sits on this side of the room or the other, or whether it lives in Texas or California. But ultimately, we're carrying this other part of ourself, which is the metaphysical part of ourself. And the metaphysical part of ourself is complex, because I would make the contention that the metaphysical part of ourself can change extremely fast, as opposed to the physical part of ourself. For example, if you think of somebody and you focus on them, the metaphysical part of yourself suddenly can move to the metaphysical part of the person you're thinking of, can look at them, can feel them, and can even merge and blend with them for a period of time. And then it can move back to its own integrated, individuated self. And if you think of someone else, that part of you in your metaphysical side then moves to them. Now, we're not talking about thinking of a person in your mind. We're talking about really contemplating a person, feeling them, feeling how it feels to be with them. As you start to do that kind of contemplation, you are moving your energy side to be with those people. So now if we start to consider the possibilities that our energy side, our metaphysical side, is always changing. It's changing with every thought. It's moving around. It's getting bigger. On this call, what we have learned to do is join our metaphysical sides. Join the energies of those parts of ourselves that are not in this dimension. Join, another word is blend. The Christian word is commune. Nonetheless, to have that those energies come together. And in the metaphysical realms, there are also these many other energies. There's bad negative energies. There's energies that are vampiric, that would suck your energy if they could, and they do that for many people. There's energies of beings in other planets. And then there's the energies of these group souls. And they exist just as real as you and I do in this realm, in what we're calling the metaphysical realms. And they have great flexibility in those realms. They can move around. They can visit people. But they do not violate free will. So they don't really connect with someone unless they're invited. And part of the purpose of this call is to create a picture of them and a reality of their existence so that you will decide if you trust it or not, if you believe it or not, and then be open to connecting with them. When you connect and you expand your energies, you start operating from what might be said to be a bigger space, an expanded space. And you're no longer limited to the small energy that was just the mirror of your body. Because in the metaphysical realms, there's no limit to how big you can be, how many people you can join with, how many souls you can join with. And in fact, in the cosmology that's been presented to me, many members of these group soul energies chose to incarnate or take a body in this realm because this realm was so screwed up that they volunteered to come back and help. And one of the things that happens when you volunteer is that you now forget everything. And so you started out with a high intent and you came into this realm and you have amnesia. And so something has to come to you to wake you up, to remind you that that's why you're here. And people that have done that, many of the people on this line would certainly qualify, usually have a really hard time in this realm because they're not interested in what most people are interested in. They're not interested in just making money. They're not interested in having sex with everybody. They have a purpose, and they're not sure what their purpose is. They want to be of service, and many times they end up just having jobs of service, like teachers or ambulance drivers, and some of them are artists because they bring in the vibrations of the higher dimensions through their art. And we don't have too much time, so we close these calls by creating an invocation to actually have the experience of this group energy and connecting with these group energies that are in the metaphysical realms where we are. And oftentimes when that's happening, there's an experience that you go through. Some people that are more sensitive actually see light. Some people feel energy on the top of their head. Some people get goosebumps. One person gets funny sweats in his hands. But something shifts where your body is having a response that's not normal. So if that happens for you, it might be normal on this call. I'd like everyone to take a deep breath. Breathe out and go, ah. And let whatever anxiety is in your body go. I'd like you to imagine this part of you that I've been talking about. It's your energy body. It's in these other realms. Just imagine that it's real. And imagine that you can experience it. If you shut your eyes, you can feel yourself here and somewhere else. And that you can move your energy body by your intention. Just like I said, when you think of someone, your energy body moves into their space. We're going to, right now, move our energy bodies into the space of everyone that's on this line. We're going to intend for that to be true. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each one of us, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies into the center of the earth. Some of you can feel that energy. Some of you can feel the energy coming back from the earth and gratitude for what we're doing. We now ask those of you who are free-willing, everyone on the line and everyone on BBS who would choose to participate, we ask for a blending of our energies. We extend our energies into this invisible space where each of us exists. It's not bound by space, physical space. And now we invite those group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, to join with our energies. So use your creative imagination and see this huge energy that we are creating by joining together with our high intention. And now we are asking for them to join with us. And of course, this is free will. So if you're here for the first time and you feel like, I want to check this out before I allow this to happen, then please check it out. Don't do anything that you're not comfortable with. And as we create this huge group energy, we are anchoring the energies of the higher realms through our bodies onto this planet. And we can create group intentions to work with this energy for the highest good of all concerned. Like we could send this energy, and we'll do it, around our planet, circling our planet. We'll ask it to find areas of darkness and fill them in, places where there's pain and sorrow and suffering. We can send this energy to the Middle East. And we can ask it to descend in that area and touch those people who are open to it. We can take this energy and we can send it to people we love. I'd like to ask all of you to shut your eyes and think and feel the people you love one by one. Let them run by your consciousness. And now, instead of just visiting them with your little energy body, you're extending to them this huge energy, for their highest good of all concerned. And we can ask for healing. We can ask for upliftment. And we'll close this by just bringing that energy. And now we have a group energy, and we have a huge group. Bring it through your own body once again and extend it into your physical environment.